Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. Today's feature is my new friend, Jen LeBanc Billhartz. We met on Zoom and talked about her work over at Shock City's School of Music. She's owner, director, and teacher over there. And we talk about her new podcast, Coffee Conversations. So you're going to get to hear all about that and more that she's been a part of. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. I want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company, located here in St. Louis, Missouri, in Maplewood off of Manchester. You can shop there or you can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Head on over there and get yourself some beard oils, beard balms, some junk powder, or even their Roughneck Genesis. This time of year, it's all about Roughneck Genesis. Features aloe vera juice infused with biotin, B12, MSM, and glycerin. This product will actually help your hair and skin pull moisture in from the air around it, keeping everything soft and healthy. Just a couple of quick sprays before adding your favorite beard oil or balm, and you're good to go. Check out roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off. You got all kinds of wonderful products over there for all your grooming needs. So be sure to check out Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. Also, big shout out to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping me make this show sound great. Visit heilsound.com today. And that's it for me, everybody. If you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. You can hit me up on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can, I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know what it is, what you're listening to, what you think of the show, what you think of, if you have any guests that you want to hear on the show or anything like that, whatever it is. It'd be nice to connect. So, shoot me an email. If that's with all that out of the way, sit back and enjoy this new episode with Jen LeBanc Billhartz.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio; it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Jen LeBanc Billhartz with Shock City School of Music, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out on Zoom with Jen LeBlanc. LeBlanc Billhartz.
Yes. It's a hard name. I apologize, but yes, you got it.
It took me a little bit. Finally got through that.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Shane. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Yeah, this is very cool. I'm excited that this worked out. We're just sort of new friends, and that's what's kind of fun about this is like really kind of sitting down and getting to meet somebody for the first time on the mic. We have a lot of mutual friends. We've been at the same shows together. We have met in person, but never really got to sit and talk a whole lot. So that's what's kind of fun about these, where we kind of get to know more about what you've been up to. But then recently we met at Naked Vine. We were hanging out for a show over there.
Yeah, it's cool how the city, St. Louis, everything's kind of networked in various ways, different connections and everything. So I feel like everyone's connected to another person with music one way or another. So it's pretty neat. So
I feel, I was just saying the other night, it's like the biggest small town, you know, it's like everybody sort of knows each other. So it's fun.
It is. Absolutely. Music makes it fun too.
Yeah. Well, so you are the owner and director and teacher over at Shock City School of Music.
Yes.
And now a podcast host.
You started
up your own show not long ago called Coffee Conversations.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to dive into more of that. Like I don't even know how to start that. How does somebody decide like I need to open up the school and everything else?
Well, there are certain people like myself that have this need. You use the right word, this need to like educate people with music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those people that has always just been focused on music, and I never really had this drive to perform. I was always very analytical. Like I would go to a show and I would just be listening and be engaging and being like, they could do this differently or they could do this better. Or I wonder what kind of training they're having. Cause I've been trained with classical piano and voice since a very young age. So it's always been part of my upbringing. It was part of various ensembles in school and then studied at the college level. So it's always been part of me, and I've always wanted to just help improve music for other people. Since I had the same opportunity, it just something very passionate to me. So I had an opportunity to open up my school with Shock City Studios, not directly with them, but kind of as a sister company. We're affiliate of Shock City Studios. So while the school is completely separate entity, we are connected in a sense, and we collaborate on projects and, you know, we share branding and things like that. So it's a really nice connection for us. It allows us to have more superior music lessons and have the ability to go into the studio and have, again, that higher level of music lessons and those opportunities for our students. So it's been a really neat journey for me. The school opened up in 2017, so it's been just about, we've been open over 3 years. We had our grand opening August 26th, so just shy of 3 years now, but we'd been open since about May, just, you know, getting established and things like that. And so we have lesson space at the Shock City Studios location, South City and Benton Park, and just this past September opened up our second location in Maplewood. So now we've got two spots for lessons, and now we're doing online as well. So it's just been really amazing kind of seeing it unfold and blossom into what it's been.
Yeah, I guess. And obviously through this time, online has picked up quite a bit for you then, right?
Yes, we've been online compatible prior to the pandemic, but we were not quite utilizing that. It just wasn't necessity for us, and we really strive for that in-person connection. Mm-hmm. But we did pivot very quickly within a day, we had to pivot completely from in-person to online 100%. But we had all the technology and the systems in place for that. So now we're still going with both in person. Well, we reopened in person in the last month, and we're also doing online.
Yeah. So how do you decide that like performance is not for you, but more to teaching? And like, how come you didn't continue to pursue the performance side of it?
That's an excellent question. It just never was me. I was never excited about doing my recitals or doing performances. I've told this story before. Like I begged to get out of my senior recital in college. I went to Carthage College in Wisconsin, did the bulk of my music studies there. And it actually, convinced my advisor that I wasn't going to do my senior recital and that I'd do a project or write a research paper instead. I said, look, I'll never be performing outside of this. Like, why do I have to do it? There's other ways that I can apply myself in music. And I understood that at that time. And I wanted to be able to focus on something different. So I was like, well, maybe I'll do an education project. I'll host a camp in the community or something. Transferred to Lindenwood in St. Charles, did my final year there. My main music teacher was Pam Grooms and also my advisor. And I told her this idea and she thought I was probably crazy. It's like, no, you have to perform. It's going to be fine. We're going to get through your recital. It'll be great. So she pushed me and it was a good challenge. So I don't have any complaints. I survived and learned lots of positive skills that I can now apply to my education and my teaching for my own students. But you know, through that journey and through everything that I've been through with music, I just knew that wasn't my direction.
Right.
And even still, like for our students, we have different goals that our students can select from and they don't have to perform. There's just some students that they're not passionate about that. They don't want to be on camera. They don't want to be in front of an audience, but they still love music and it still serves them in the same way. So maybe they can pursue songwriting and they can apply all of their great skills into writing songs. And then they're learning how to write music and it's just in their journal. And that's the only place it's at. And that's totally fine. They've still found a practical application for their music. And to me, that's successful.
Yeah.
Another application is recording. And again, that can be a very private experience. You've been to the studio. You're completely isolated in your sound booth. The only person that can hear you is your engineer. So you can record it and you can do a couple things with that. It can just be for your own personal collection. For you to go back on, be like, oh, wow, I worked on these songs at this point in my life, or these are my own songs I recorded, or maybe you want to share them with the world, and then you have that opportunity. You can make an EP or just put things on YouTube or your own channel, whatever you want to do with it. And then obviously the last thing you'd mentioned was performing. Obviously that's a goal too. We have multiple opportunities for our students to get on the community to perform. So to me, and I, again, learned this through my own personal experience, music is very unique and performance is not the only avenue for music. There's other things you can do with it. And there has to be people that are educators, just like myself.
Sure.
You know, but I do place a lot of importance on the performance side of it. And what's interesting, and I do break this rule. I'm the exception to this rule at our school, is that all of my music staff, all of my teachers have to be degreed in music. So I hit that checkbox, but they also have to be relevant in the music community, meaning they're an artist and they're putting out their own music or they're actively performing in the community or in whatever regard. Because again, we want to teach our students those skills. So to me, that's very important.
Yeah.
But
well, I connect to a lot of what you're saying. Like, I feel like, I don't know that I've ever, I mean, obviously I don't know enough to, teach, you know, in that sense, but I often say a similar message when people are like, well, do you want to, I used to get a lot, cause I used to go to the comedy club all the time and I hang out there. Okay. And everybody, and that's sort of like the unspoken thing in a comedy club is the guy that hangs around a lot usually wants to get up there and try it. And everybody's always like, hey, do you want to try comedy? And I'm like, no, it's not for me. I'm just a fan. I just enjoy watching the show. And
appreciate it. For yeah. Sure.
And I would get it a lot with music too, just not as much, but people, you know, I'm always like, there's gotta be fans too. There's gotta be people to listen and enjoy the music, just as much and supporters absolutely. And stuff. So as much as you're saying for me, for music, for your performers and stuff, for me, I relate to it because there's gotta be people out there promoting it, talking about it, sharing it with friends and everything else. So it's a, you know, it's a definitely kind of a symbiotic relationship. You know, I feel like my role in it is just being a fan, you know, like I don't have any desire to perform. Someday I think it would be fun to act like it's a bucket list thing for me to like write a song or do something like that, but I've never sat down to like really apply myself, but I would love to do that sometime. I have a lot of friends that offer to help and collaborate and things, but whenever that time comes, but who knows when that'll be.
No, I think that's wonderful. You know, obviously the music industry wouldn't survive if it was just catered to musicians. You need to have people that just appreciate it. And I think that music's very personal, in which everybody experiences it differently and everybody utilizes it in a different way. So I think that that's wonderful. Like you can, you know, and I think, you know, you can still learn music and take lessons and not perform, because performance skills are much different than anything you're just doing in your lesson.
Right.
I mean, you can learn performance skills kind of ongoing as a thing, but you're really learning about technique and methods and, you know, all sorts of things, theory, and depending on what your instrument, it goes into other things. And then the performance is another side of it. So you can still become this incredible musician. I mean, incredible without that extra step. For some people, it just comes naturally. But I mean, you have to learn how to utilize mics and how sound works in different venues and things. And all of that is just a whole nother beast. So
yeah, you mentioned all your teachers are performers, and several of them have been on my show and are friends of mine. I know we mentioned off mic, but a guy Tyler Jackson Stokes, he's been working with you. Yeah, he's incredible talent and a great guy. And then you also newly added to your roster is Matt Rattlesnake Lesh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased to have him. He is amazing. And I keep telling him, I was like, you've got to be proud of yourself, because he's finishing up his degree at Webster. And I was like, you're landing the same performance opportunities as like Dave Black, who's been in the community, you know, much longer. It's like, you've really got to be proud. Like, you're going to be doing great things. But he's so modest, and he's such a lovely person, and he's so talented. So he's definitely worth not only seeing live, but, you know, I took a mock lesson with him, and he's a fun teacher. So
yeah.
Well, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that, you know, maybe the kids can't always go see these guys play live in these bars and stuff, but it's, you know, it's really cool to still to know that these guys are doing it. They are, you know, performers, and they're, you know, out there making records, and they're doing everything to show an example for these kids, like that this is something, this is a career path option, that if you wanted to pursue music as that, you can do it. And so I think that's really cool to lead by example like that.
Yeah. It is exciting.
Yeah. So you, in Shock City, how, like, is there age limits at all? Is it, or,
No. So I don't know. I've got this little thing I've made just for today's show.
Yeah.
Oh, Tyler's right there. We're talking about Tyler. He's teaching bass guitar, and, up top, I've got one of my piano students. And then you see little babies too. So I teach a program called Kinder Music, which is internationally known and is the largest, how do they phrase it? this isn't making me look good. I mean, it's the largest program for babies, toddlers, preschool aged, early childhood music.
Right.
They're in their 40th year, and I mean, literally all over the world. Originated in Germany, hence the name Kinder Music. And I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to be partnered with them, to be able to teach their classes. So to answer your question, I start that class at 3 months of age. Yeah. And there's different levels you kind of move through. So the first three levels, essentially, you're kind of, it's a mom or dad, parent, and me type class.
Right.
And then by the time you get to a level three for our 3 to 5 year olds, they're a little bit more independent. It's a preschool aged class. So at that point, you know, they're mostly comfortable being in that classroom setting. And then we just kind of move on from there. And it's intended to work with early childhood development. So they're learning these music concepts that are age appropriate, but we're also working on all these developmental aspects that are so crucial for babies and toddlers and young children. So it's just phenomenal. And I've had several children that have started as infants and are now 2, 3, almost 4 years old. And it's just tremendous watching them progress. So from there, we really encourage private lessons and we start those. It depends on the child, but 4 and up, typically 4 or 5 and up. And then, yeah, no age cap. So something that does make us unique because of not only our staff, but also kind of what we are able to offer is that we have professional level music lessons. So we have worked with and are working with several musicians that are already in the music scene and need additional lessons, or maybe they're semi-professional or just starting out. And, you know, so we're able to provide that higher level of music lesson. So yeah, it's really exciting to kind of watch that whole process and be able to do like literally all ages. So one of our mottos is all ages and abilities, and we truly mean that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Like maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe if I want to, because I don't know. I think it'd be fun to apply myself again. Like I wanted the songwriting, but also I think it would be fun to learn a little bit of something on guitar. Just to try it.
And that's cool. Like, so I took guitar lessons and I'd never played guitar. So I just kind of did it for fun and to learn something different. And yeah, it gets your brain thinking. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of benefits to doing that as an adult, but the key word you said is it's fun. It's something to do. Like, I feel like as adults, we kind of often neglect ourselves and our kids are in all of these activities and we're trying to enhance their life by having them do X, Y, and Z, but then, you know, we're not doing anything,
right.
But we're always learning and our brains are always, you know, growing and can absorb so much more. And there's so much that we're capable of doing and we should be continuing on our growth in many ways. And music is just a wonderful thing that's just absolutely timeless. So, you know, yeah, I think it can be a wonderful hobby or beyond for adults too.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I just don't want to limit myself, you know. It's like, if I give it a shot, if it don't work, it don't work, but you know, at least I can say I tried it. So, maybe I need to come visit and sign up for that. All abilities class.
Study with Matt Lesh.
There you go. So you, what's the official website then where if anybody wants to come find some more information online, about the school?
Sure. It's shockcityschool.com.
Simple enough. Yep. And, you, of course, there's, the Facebook page. You can follow along on social media there.
We are on Facebook and on Instagram as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about,
we've also got a YouTube channel. So,
there we go.
Yeah. So we post our, Coffee Conversations podcast on our YouTube channel for Shock City School, but we also have student performances, lesson supplements and different things. So it's kind of a whole hodgepodge type thing. So there's lots of great material in there.
Yeah. We mentioned the podcast and Coffee Conversations, which again, you can watch video version of it on YouTube. I guess all of them so far have been on recorded over like Zoom or something, right? Like all must have been on online or a couple in person.
Yes. I did one in person with Sam Mall from the studio.
Okay.
But I recorded his a bit differently. So I'm releasing those in stages. So I have not yet released the video versions.
Okay. But then you can also listen. I know it's wherever you're finding your podcasting at it, pretty much. I think I was listening on Spotify today, and so
it's all major platforms.
Yeah.
Yep.
But let's. Where does this idea? Where do you kind of discover podcasting, and how does this get going for you?
So I started my podcast as an extension of the music school as a marketing effort. So I was looking for new ways to reach not only our current students, but additional students or just musicians or people in the community, other parents or other like-minded people that love music, things like that. So I realized that it would be helpful to me to build my YouTube channel because of how synced it is with Google. And that would just be this other really cool avenue. You know, there's not many music schools that have podcasts or, you know, shows in which they're conversing with professional musicians or things of that nature. And so I was like, well, this is really, could be a really neat thing. And I'm still in the infancy stage of it. And so I'm still kind of seeing where it takes me. And so I'm really excited just to kind of like explore where it's going to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the main purpose was another tie-in for the school and just like a really cool extension of it. And the neat thing that I like about it that I've learned is I've learned a bunch of new skills about recording and doing this, and then also the editing and how all of that stuff, the mic skills. And so I'm going to be able to then utilize that. And another extension of which we talked about for our students is maybe, you know, with the recording, maybe they want to make a YouTube video. And now we have that ability. I have the knowledge to help guide them to that because you know, that's kind of the new thing is all these kids, they want to be a YouTube star.
Yeah.
there's no concerts really live anymore at this point in time. They'll circle back, but everyone lives online. And so to me, that's a more practical thing. Not that the live performances aren't valuable, but I think it's two separate things. And I'd like to be able to, allow these young musicians to embrace that. So, there's just been a lot of wonderful things that have come from this. And another element is the networking. Like if it weren't for the podcast, we probably wouldn't be sitting here today. No. And I've had the privilege of sitting down and chatting with a lot of really wonderful people. So it's just been quite an enjoyable ride so far.
Yeah. I think I took notice on episode 2, with Nick Sanazero. So, Nick's a good friend, and
I'm kind of captured you early on.
Yeah, so that's where I got my attention, and you know, I'm always about trying to support anybody really. I mean, I'm just a fan of a lot of people, but I do a lot to help other podcasters in town, and if we can do anything to sort of help each other out to, you know, introduce our audiences to each other and stuff. And I'm
absolutely
glad to help out and do that. So, so that's where this kind of the idea and the conversation kind of got started. In that sense, to where I was like, I would gladly help you whatever I can do and to introduce you to my audience and stuff. So,
no, I think that's wonderful. I love your approach with what you're doing too, because it's neat to see you sitting down with other artists, whether they're local or within the region, things like that. And it's just bringing everything kind of together, and it's bringing musicians together, and it's just building this broader network. So I'm really enjoying seeing your show as well. And you've been doing it for about how long now?
Like May was 6 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I started with my buddy, Chris. I've been doing about 5 by myself now. And that sort of, it's always been the same, but essentially kind of rebranded after that, after Chris left, being that it was just me then carrying it on. So,
okay.
But, cool. But yeah, anyway, yeah, it's, I don't know. I, I never imagined I would still be doing this show 6 years later or, you know, or any of that, but it's, I'm glad I am. And I have a ton of fun doing it. And, but it was just kind of started as a goof, you know, it was just something fun, get to start talking to some people and, you know, and then turns out people liked it. So I'm glad they did. So.
Yeah, no, that's the best thing.
Yeah. I don't have the school to promote like yourself, but like, you know, that was the same thing. I just kind of wanted to get into, I had all these friends in music and I wanted to learn more about them and what they were doing and to help shine a light on what they were doing. And I was already writing, like album review type of stuff.
Oh, and really? Okay.
So, and I'm not a great writer. It was just that I was, again, something to do to help maybe shine a light on something. Okay. But I always felt like I'd rather let the music speak for itself. And so when the audio platform type of kind of presented itself, I started listening to a lot more podcasts. And then my buddy Chris was like, anybody want to do a podcast? I'm like, yeah, that sounds like fun. And then again, we could drop in music and then let it speak for itself instead of me trying to describe a guitar solo or whatever, you know, yeah. that different type of stuff, like neat. Just didn't work for me. So, but I'm really, really happy with how, you know, that this, the podcasting has kind of become what it has now and where everybody has it. Like there's a podcast out there for literally everything.
And there it's, is. Yeah.
So some of that's good and some of that's bad. I mean, you know, in a sense, like I like that there's, everybody has a chance to find their audience and to build an audience, you know, whatever you put in the work, you can make it whatever you want it to be.
Absolutely.
But there's a ton of them now. So it's like, it's hard to capture people's attention sometimes because there are so many options, you know, as far as podcasting and YouTube and Netflix and whatever. So, but,
there
it's
is
fun.
A lot, but I do like that. You know, I'm familiar with a lot of your guests. So to me, that's interesting. And I like that it's, you know, it's local mostly. And
yeah.
So you're really hitting a lot of the St. Louis network and the music sure. scene, which to me is really cool. And yeah. following it. So, you know, I don't know. Are there other music podcasts in St. Louis doing that?
There's some others and they're doing similar things, but I don't know that anybody's quite doing exactly what I'm doing. Like,
okay.
You know, some of them have a particular vein of music they like.
Sure.
Or, you know, something like that. Like, you know, there's, or more variety shows that happen to have music sometimes and different things. And
okay.
But I don't know. There's,
so then you're in the St. Louis niche and you kind of got that going right. for you at least. So
yeah.
That's good.
But yeah. And I'm like kind of with you, like I've been doing these Zoom ones and it's opened up the world to, that I'm able to record with people all around the country. So I've done right. recorded with a couple from New Orleans. I had my friend Andy Sito on from Denver area.
Awesome.
I recorded with David Ruprecht the other day from Supermarket Sweep. So that was
that was
interesting. So, you know, different things.
That's one of the positives. You get to expand and utilize technology in a positive way. I mean, I think it's really awesome. And same thing, like probably if it weren't for the pandemic, I wouldn't have even thought up this idea or mm-hmm. had the need to do it. I, you know, we get very, very highly involved with community events. I mean, we were at Lou Fest a couple of years and we do Grub and Groove,
which is usually
this weekend and, right.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things. And, none of it was taking place. And that's our biggest, marketing endeavor for the mm-hmm. year. And I was like, well, we're going to do something else and get creative. So, you know, that's the best we could do. And so here we are.
Yeah. Well, you just dropped, as we're recording this, you just dropped a new episode today with,
yes.
Bob Baker, right?
Bob Baker. Yeah. Are you familiar with Bob?
I know, but I learned, I was listening. So,
he had a music magazine in St. Louis for about 10 years. So you had mentioned that you like to write reviews. So he kind of was doing that.
Right. That's what the name
would stand out to you.
Yeah.
But that was in the 90s, I want to say.
Well, that's kind of what caught my attention because he was saying some stories and I'm like, I feel like there's a lot of parallels in our story, you know, again, in St. Louis music and writing and then moving into multimedia and different things that he was, but that he's does now. But, so it was cool to hear.
It's definitely worth checking out. So if you haven't watched the whole episode, I recommend it because he has a lot of amazing tips on how to grow your YouTube channel and things like that. As of today, he has over 140,000 subscribers. And I think his highest viewed video has over 3 million. And that he posted that video 2 years ago. So in 2 years, over 3 million views. And he's getting over 800,000 a month. So
that's incredible.
And he's monetized. So he hasn't had a regular day job. And this is just what he's doing. And he's very successful. Mm-hmm. But he does a lot with, he has a very strong concept of marketing in relation to music and just arts in general. So he's applied that. He actually teaches music marketing at Lindenwood as an adjunct. So brilliant, brilliant. I was very, very pleased to have him as my recent guest.
I have a friend I met through the school, and he has recently stepped away from the school because he does a lot of YouTube video for video games, like playthrough type of stuff, I guess.
Those can get monetized too. And, you can make a living off of it.
So he makes enough doing YouTube videos now that he quit his day job. So he, and I'm like, that's pretty crazy to think about that now that like, that YouTube's got that much activity going on. You can, again, same as podcasting, where you can find your audience. There's a lot of people that play these certain games. And if you do your videos right, people enjoy your content and, or whatever your, you know, whatever your audience is into, but you can, but I'm just like, man, that'd be pretty sweet if I could, you know, give up my day job to do this podcast all the time or whatever it is.
Well, definitely check into my latest episode then, because I've even applied some of the things that he has recommended, and I mean, it'll take some time, but I'm hopeful it will be helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's the greatest thing about all this. Like with my conversations with all these various people is like, I want to learn, like, you know, you can pick up little tidbits along the way from everybody and figure out how to apply it to your own situation and make, you know, be successful in your own right and stuff. So it's a lot of fun to just, you know, go in everything with an open mind and learn and, you know, try to absorb as much as you can from these people. So.
Right. And that's another part of my purpose with the podcast as well, is getting very specific people on there. I had Matt Horman from Lindenwood, and he oversees and is the co-founder of their, I guess you'd call it contemporary music business or something with music business that is more of a contemporary approach. And he was one of my guests. And so we talked all about like how, as a musician in today's day and age, you can make money. Cause it's so hard. You're not making money off of record sales anymore. So we just kind of went step by step how you can do it. So to me, it's like, that's worthwhile information. And I hope that somebody that needs that information is listening and learning. I mean, if nothing else, you know, there are little tidbits I was able to take away too, as a business owner, you know, cause you can apply marketing techniques kind of across the board. So, you know, that kind of stuff is very interesting to me. And, you know, I've had some singer-songwriters and just learning that process. So when I can, you know, because I'm education focused, I want to provide something, you know, this free content to people that is relatable. And they're like, oh, that guy's from St. Louis too. Or I know somebody that knows him, or, oh, I've seen him perform out at wherever. So to me, that's really neat to be able to have that extra extension as well.
Yeah. Well, you, again, you hit subscribe on YouTube or wherever you're getting your podcast for the audio format. There is also a Facebook page for Coffee Conversations, which you don't have to, I noticed a lot of the guests don't have coffee with you, but so it's not a prerequisite at all, but
it's not.
But you can enjoy your own cup of morning coffee when you're listening to the show if you want to play along.
So, yeah, for yeah. sure.
What do you have like a list of you know like dream guest you've got going or anything like that, people that you want to reach out to and get on there?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be really cool. You know, I'd like to just get people that are bigger than me. And so what I mean by that is maybe there's a music school somewhere else in the country that has been doing it longer and has a bigger student population and they're just really well known, something like that. Or maybe a conductor from a symphony, maybe the St. Louis Symphony or somewhere else, New York, Chicago, wherever. That would be really cool to me. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, any musician that is fairly well known, whether it's locally or beyond. Gosh, I don't know. That's such a tough question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I can find value in so many different people that.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what I really love most, I think, is like, there's a lot of people I have on the show, like where I may not particularly be as super fan of their music. You know, I've had like various like real heavy metal bands on and stuff, but regardless if I like what their music necessarily, I still like the people and I can have an incredible conversation, have a lot of fun meeting them and getting to know them and stuff and learn something from them still, even if we have some differences, you know, in our taste and everything else. So, that's what I really like about it. And then of course, but I also enjoy, there's a lot of people I meet for the very first time on the mic. So like I have
right.
really no idea about any of it. And so it's just fun to hit record and learn everything about it. So,
I love that question. And I think I'm going to do something with your question.
Okay.
You know, for instance, it would be neat to maybe talk to the president of Kinder Music. You know, I know they're in North Carolina. I've been to the headquarters for my training and licensing, and I've met him. But to me, that would be interesting to, you know, hit on that. Or maybe, I don't know, somebody else, another educator that's just very well known. I'd really have to think, and maybe I'll try and do what you did and find a way to get them on my show. But, we'll build and get there. I've got a musician that's currently in Nashville. I'm kind of waiting a little bit. He's already agreed to be on the show. I'm thinking, waiting until, you know, I just want to make sure my, podcasting is seamless and everything. We just started transitioning to recording at the studio and I'm working with a specific engineer. So just getting all of that, you know, said and done so that it can be pristine. Cause you know, obviously the content is your number one thing. You've got to have good content, but I'm kind of a perfectionist in a lot of ways. And I want things to be good. Like I've got two dogs right now and they, you'll probably, when you go back and listen through, you'll hear them snoring and footsteps and different things, which isn't a big deal to me, but, you know, just being able to work out those little intricacies before getting, you know, some maestro to sit down with me. I want to have my stuff together.
Well, I'm very put
together.
Yeah. I'm very thankful for some of those guys that gave me a chance early on, even though I didn't have my stuff together. So, I learned, you know, it's like, again, I was able to learn from some of my mistakes and apply it and figure out how to get bigger and better and, stronger, faster and everything else. So, but I remember like, so I tell the story a lot, but a guy, Steve Ewing did the show, episode 5.
Oh,
and
wow.
for me, like it was really a surreal moment because I grew up being a super fan of what he was doing. And I'm still a fan and I'm lucky enough to have been, you know, to call him a friend now, but,
That's awesome.
You know, to get a guy like that, who is a rock star and give us a chance to some two guys that had no idea what they were doing a podcast. And so it was, but that opportunity alone, you know, seeing that he was attached to it in a sense, like other people gave us opportunities and stuff. So, so big thanks to Steve and some of the other guys that, you know, gave us a foot in the door a long time ago. So.
No, that's wonderful. And, you know, sometimes that's all it takes. And you're right. You just kind of have to dive in and do it and, you know, have your confidence, and you seem very confident. And, you know, that makes all the difference. And, you know, again, early on, it's the content that really matters, not the quality of your equipment, not the, all of that stuff. So no, you really nailed it with that.
Yeah. Well, have you been in St. Louis about all your life, or you moved here?
I have, except when I grew up in St. Louis, in West County area, and I left for college for a couple of years, went up to Carthage, which is right on Lake Michigan, in between Milwaukee and Chicago. They have a beautiful campus right there on Lake Michigan and a phenomenal music program. I was blessed. I got to go on a European choir tour with them. That was phenomenal. And then came back, finished up my education. I've been here in St. Louis ever since.
Nice. Well, I saw you wrote, I don't know, I'm guessing it was you or maybe somebody else runs the page, but somebody wrote about like a best cheeseburger or something in St. Louis or.
Oh, on the Facebook page,
yeah.
On the schools page.
Yeah.
Well, you should respond to that. That's a marketing hack.
Right.
You're trying to call me out on my supposed to be subtle marketing things here.
Sure. Well, I just was wondering your opinion. And then do you have an opinion on the best burger in town or a go-to that you like to frequent?
Gosh, that's a great question. I live really close to High Point.
Oh yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. High Point Burgers right on, right by Dogtown.
Yeah.
They have some phenomenal concoctions there, of course.
Yeah. I love those.
I know this sounds really weird, and this is maybe kind of a hidden good burger, but one of my favorite places to go for jazz music is Fox and Hounds at the Cheshire.
Okay.
And if you haven't been there, that's really a spot to go. You'll be blown away. It feels very old. It's very cavernous and small, and it's kind of feels like you're in this little British tavern. They have a really good bacon cheddar burger that has the soft cheese and lots of bacon, and it's just gigantic. And so I don't know, something about it that might be one of my tops, and but it might be also biased because it's also one of my favorite spots for jazz music.
Sure. I think
that's definitely worth checking out. So I think that would be that's got to be my answer.
Yeah. I mean, atmosphere goes a long way when you get and of course great live music whenever that's going on. So
absolutely.
You know, so it's the combination of
all.
But, well, for best burger, I don't know. It's a tough call. I do like a lot of those like local places, like High Point, like you're saying, or that have like monthly special or weekly or whatever, where it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And so those are always a lot of fun. And of course, I love supporting all my friends around town. I don't know. I'm more like I do like a good burger, but. I go pizza a lot or sandwiches. I love going to Gramophone, getting some sandwiches.
Okay.
If I had the option of going anywhere, it's Broadway Oyster Bar. That's my spot. The music, the atmosphere, the food, the people, that's like my home away from home. It's just, it's always such a good time down there and incredible food and all my friends are always there. All my friends' bands are playing there. And so
nice.
That's kind of my Fox and Hound or what, right? Is that what you said?
That's
Fox
your
and
go-to place. Yeah. Awesome.
Not quite as jazzy, but we do have a good time down there, and it's there's just always something to, you know, funk, soul, R&B, you know, get a little bit of everything through there. And it's always a party.
It's a St. Louis legend. So yeah. It's kind of one of those spots you've got to check out at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been going down there for years, but, you know, it was nice when you had, Beale on Broadway going on a Friday and Saturday night and BB's on the other side, and then of course Oyster Bar, and we call Blues Triangle, and we just bounce between all three.
Yeah.
And it was just always a lot of fun being a part of the St. Louis music down there.
That is cool.
Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting question. Like I said, it is good to.
Well, you should answer it though.
Yeah, I'll chime in, and I'll do some thinking about. Burger specifically that I want to recommend on there.
I can't believe I've not seen any pictures posted yet on that, but there's been I think Max got 2 votes so far and 1 for Seamus.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything else has come in from the afternoon, but yeah.
Yeah. What's, so say, obviously, you know, there's been a similar movie, but what say there's they decide to write the Shock City School of Music movie, and who are you going to cast, or who would you like to see cast as Jin in the movie?
I don't know.
Have you ever thought about that?
I have heard that I resemble Natalie Portman a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to make that claim, and I don't know if she would be my best person, but Zooey Deschanel, she plays a teacher on New Girl, and I'm a bit quirky like her. So she's a brunette, so maybe she would be somebody that might do okay for the part.
Yeah. Yeah, and she can actually, you know, sing and play.
She's a musician too, so sure. I'm gonna cast her.
There you go.
That was easier than I thought. You kind of put me on the spot there, but
that's good casting, though. I'm a big fan of her music.
And I used to have bangs like that too, but that was years ago.
I like Zoe's She and Him project. There's some good stuff in there. That
yes,
for her music. So
it's beautiful. Yeah.
What's something you tried and will never do again? You ever do any skydiving or anything crazy?
No.
Me neither. I've never done.
I'm a very low risk person. I really am. I weigh out
You said you're analytical. Do a lot of.
I'm not a risk taker. We'll put it there. I've got 2 young boys, and I want to be able to return home to them.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I always have. I think it would be fun, but I haven't been able to bring myself to try any of that yet. I don't know. Maybe one of these days.
I did go on a helicopter tour of St. Louis somewhat recently, which was quite an experience. I'd recommend it to anybody. It was just incredible kind of seeing the whole city from a different perspective and knowing where things were and all of that good stuff. And it didn't feel to me, that didn't feel risky, but yet you're in this little tiny pod and
right.
I felt safer. It didn't feel terribly risky, but I guess the next step would be jumping out of the helicopter.
Yep.
If you're doing something like that, or a little airplane, the skydiving type thing.
One of my dad's friends got their pilot's license 9 years ago. We like a little 8-person seater kind of thing. Took us on a flight over our property, and
nice.
So it was interesting to see it from that view.
From the bird's eye view. It's really neat, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was, same thing like you're saying. Like, I didn't feel like it was any concern at that time, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, this is a, yeah, this is a crazy situation. I'm up in the air in this little bitty plane and stuff. So, right. But yeah, that was pretty surreal though, to like be up there and just like, yeah, the little, you know, dot there, that's my house. And so yeah. It was cool though.
It's neat to experience that for sure.
Yeah. You, okay. So I know you, you said you're not really into the, performance side, but you are a fan of music and everything. Yes. But so you get to front the band for one song and you get to go out there and sing. What's going to be the band and what's the song? What do you like to crank up in the car and just sing along to?
Well, so I'm answering this correctly for myself. Is the band there present with me or not?
Yeah.
That would alter my decision.
Yeah. Like say they pull you up out of the crowd and they want you to sing with them that night and stuff. And
then it's going to have to be the Beatles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would be the song?
Do I have a favorite Beatles song? Gosh, I don't know. That's a great question.
What's fun about those guys is they
two of us, that would be fun.
Yeah. Cause they go all over the place. They're like, you know, obviously their early stuff's very pop.
Every album is different and I'm not a huge fan of the early stuff, but, you know, some of it's just a lot of fun. Like I love Rocky Raccoon. That would be fun. Yesterday, you know, is obviously more of a ballad. It's just, you're right. It just kind of,
yeah,
it definitely matures and morphs over the years. And it's just really interesting. So it's almost like if you were to stop them at any of those different points, it could essentially be a whole different band.
Right. Don't Let Me Down is one I gravitate towards a lot.
Ooh, that's a good one too. There's so many good songs. Like I could probably have a list of 100 favorites.
There's one I've been singing a lot. I just recently like really got into it, from Paul. I think it was, I'm blanking on the name now. As bad as that, I was just talking about it. Let Me Roll It. That's it. From Wings.
Yeah.
But I was like, I just recently, like, you know, it was some of that stuff. Like, obviously, there was a ton of music that it just didn't get into. I mean, now it's way before my time. But either way, like, there's records I missed along the way, and that was one I recently heard, and I was like, man, I like the way that sounds, and I kind of got stuck on repeat for a couple of days and stuff. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. I like to answer. I just think these are fun questions. Some to ask.
That is a fun one. Yeah.
Well, Jen, this has been awesome. I'm really glad we made this happen.
Likewise.
I'm very excited to see what happens for you with your podcast as it continues to grow. As obviously, you know, you're still very, very early stages of doing this, and I'm excited to see where this thing takes off for you and blossoms into something great. And so, get involved with the podcast again, Coffee Conversations, wherever you're getting your podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit like on Facebook,
thumbs up,
yep. And then be sure to, if you have some little ones or even yourself, if you want to get involved with the school, reach out to Shock City School of Music and see if you can get yourself in some of their classes whenever class is back in session, or you can sign up for the online classes like you're talking about.
Yep, we're doing in-person at both locations. We've got COVID safety. We've got huge partitions and masks and temp checks and yeah, so everything's good with that. And then also online from anywhere. So the options are wide open. So Maplewood, Benton Park, and online.
Yeah. But I'm, again, thank you for spending some time with me this evening and teaching me all about all this stuff. So
absolutely. And I'll have to have you as a guest on my show soon. And
yeah, that'll be fun.
We'll talk more. We'll get more into the weeds about podcasting and things like that.
Yeah, very cool. I look forward to that. That'd be a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Jen. Shane,
this has been a blast, and it's great seeing you again.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, bump into you at a show sometime. Hopefully, it's not too long before we get live music again. And
right.
So
one can hope.
Yeah, but thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.